Imagine looking into an ancient Egyptian mirror, like 3,000 years ago. You wouldn't just see your own face staring back, you'd actually see a god.
Right, which is quite a shift from how we usually think of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
Indeed.
most people just view ancient Egypt as this dead collection of mummies in limestone. But today we are diving into an exploration of Ellen Cannon Reid's book, Ancient Egyptian Magic for Modern Witches.
And the mission here is really to move past that whole museum view, right? To understand Tamra, which means the beloved land, as a living spiritual system.
Right, where the gods aren't just these distant stone statues, but are like actual mirrors of your own inner self.
Exactly. I mean, it's a huge shift from history to, well, psychology and spirituality. The core idea is that these deities are universal archetypes that exist inside you right now.
Wow, so they're already there.
Yeah, but to access them, you need a foundation. Like if you look at the Egyptian cosmic framework with Nut, the Sky Mother, arched over Geb, the Earth Father.
Right, people always call that the divine sandwich.
They do, yeah. But it is really more like a container for growth. Nut represents infinite potential, while Geb provides the literal ground you stand on.
Well, I like to think of Nut as the ultimate grandmother. You know, she has seen empires rise and fall, so she doesn't panic when you're having a spiritual temper tantrum.
That is a very warm way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, she just knows that those painful times are usually just the growing pains of the soul.
For sure. And we should add that this framework is exactly what makes magic or Hekah possible. In the sources, Ra gave Hekah to humans as a gift.
Wait, so it's not just a cheat code for life?
No, not at all. It is a mechanism of resonance. You see, Ra embedded the same creative power he used to build the universe into human speech and intention. So you weren't breaking the laws of nature.
Oh, you're just using your voice to vibrate in harmony with the cosmos.
Precisely.
So magic is basically a fringe benefit of being in sync with the divine. But if this is all about harmony, why are there so many scary gods?
Well, that is where the museum-style misunderstanding does the most damage. Take Set, for example.
Right. Everyone thinks he's the Egyptian Satan.
Exactly. But he's really not evil at all. He is the harvester. Think of a field of grain. It has to be cut down and completely destroyed to become bread or to be replanted.
Oh, I see. So Set is just the force that breaks down what is no longer serving you?
Yes. He clears the way.
It's kind of like a soul-level sandblaster. I mean, it is incredibly painful when it is happening, you know, just stripping away layers of ego. But it's often the only way to get decades of grime off the soul.
That is a great analogy, but sandblasting is dangerous if you are unprotected, right? That is why Set is paired with Anpu, or Anubis, who acts as the challenger.
Okay, so what does Anpu do in that scenario?
Well, his role isn't to make your fear disappear. Instead, he removes you from your fear. He gives you this objective perspective to view your own shadows.
Ah, so once you stop running from that Set-style destruction, you can finally move toward the wisdom of Tahuti, the scribe of the gods.
Exactly. You have to face the disruption to get the wisdom.
That makes a lot of sense. Speaking of the gods, though, I want to look at Aset, better known as Isis. Reed describes her as a best friend, but I have to push back a bit here.
Why is that?
Well, Aset is often symbolized by a predator, like a hawk or a swallow-tailed kite. I mean, it is really hard to reconcile a loving mother with a creature that has talons meant for tearing.
Yeah, I get that. But Tamra doesn't sugarcoat reality. A predator isn't bad in this context. It is a symbol of focus, precision, and the natural cycle of life.
So it's not about violence, it's about clarity.
Right. Aset is the mistress of magic. The kite symbol represents relentless power. She has that hawk vision to see the big picture and the strength to strike when action is actually needed.
Okay, so the tools of the trade reflect that same raw utility then, like the sistrum, the sacred rattle, or the ankh. Reed calls these keys, which I think sounds a bit cliche. Are they just ritual props?
Not at all. You should really think of them as tuning forks. The sistrum was used to literally shake away negative influences with sound, and the ankh is super misunderstood.
Because everyone just thinks it means life, right?
Yeah, in hieroglyphs it means life, but it also means mirror. It is a reminder that your external life is a reflection of your internal state.
Wow, that really brings us back to the whole Tamran mindset. The gods are immanent, meaning they are right here and accessible through sincere desire, not just like memorizing old spells.
Exactly. Your daily life and your spiritual life are the same thing. You're constantly co-creating reality with these forces.
So as we wrap up this exploration into the beloved land, I want to leave everyone with a provocative thought.
I'd love a good final thought. Let's hear it.
Well, if the Ankh is both life and mirror, and your life today is a mirror for the gods, which ancient Tamarin quality is reflecting most clearly in you right now? Is it the grounded, unshakable stability of Deb, or the sharp, seeking wisdom of Tahuti? Take a look in the mirror and see who's looking back.